The Oldfield is a smallish peri pear tree, and it makes a very fine peri. In fact, Tom Oliver, who was on last week's episode 105, says that this is one of his favorite peri pears to work with for making peri, of course.
Excuse me, Palms. Are you going to be in here for a while? Because I'm set to do a recording for this next episode on the Totally Cider tour to the UK, in fact. Can you move on out of here out into the orchard and finish this talk?
We'll be out of here in just a moment, Rhea. Do you need any help with setting up this chat?
No, I think I have it, Mr. Quince, but I appreciate it. If you could just kind of move it along and get all the palms out of here, that would be really helpful because I need a little bit of, you know, quiet on the set.
We can't wait to hear about the Totally Cider tour to the UK, Rhea. It's going to be so much fun.
No surprise there that medlars love anything to do with the UK. I mean, who can't remember like the Victorian era when the medlars were like the cat's meow at every fancy party on the block, but we'll save that story for now. In the meanwhile, I see Bartlett pear is starting to sweep up the floor. Really appreciate that. And I see the crab apples and the wild yeast are hanging out over in the back of the barrel, so you might want to shuffle them out, Mr. Quince, if you can.
I'm on it, Rhea.
And Perry, can you kind of wrap this up?
Right. Okay, everyone. Thank you for your attention. It's time to move on now and get on with the show for Rhea.
Thanks, Perry. I appreciate it. And Perry, would you mind letting all the listeners out there know what they are listening to?
Right. No problem. This is Perry Pear speaking to you in the Cider House at One Orchard Lane. And you are listening to Cider Chat.
And this is episode 106. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we are chatting about cider tours, specifically one tour that's going out this April 2018 during apple blossom time in the UK. There'll be more on that in just a moment. Regular listeners of Cider Chat, welcome back. And if you're new to this podcast, well, welcome aboard. We are heading out into the world of cider, showcasing makers and what is happening in spots of Ciderville throughout the land. And we're going to go straight away into Baltimore, Maryland, where this year, the United States Association of Cider Makers have chosen that location to be the site of the annual trade conference called CiderCon. And if you are in the trade, you want to get there. Even if you're not a U.S. maker, it is such an amazing experience to be in a room full of cider makers, sharing what they're doing, the enthusiasm, the cider trade that happens on Wednesday where the makers are pouring and chit-chatting up their particular apple varieties and the equipment they use and just sharing a glass and a smile and a shake of the hand. It's just a fantastic time. We're going to be going through this as we lead up to this event, which is going to start on January 30th with a kickoff day where anyone attending can take a cider tour, but you have to sign up now. I spoke a little bit about this last week. There are three tours going out, one to DC, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. But they do fill up. So my tip this week for folks interested in going to CiderCon is to sign up for those tours now because they always sell out. And if you're thinking about, well, I don't know, do I really want to go there? Well, yes, by golly, you should be going to CiderCon, whether you are a large cidery, startup cidery, or an enthusiast. You can go to CiderCon. Just go to ciderassociation.org and check out their program. Again, this is going to be held in Baltimore, Maryland. That should be really interesting. It's the first time it's held on the East Coast. And there's going to be a whole other perspective of what's happening in that part of Ciderville. So check it out. People are coming in from New Zealand. They'll be coming in from the UK. Tom Oliver was on the podcast last week. I expect we'll see Tom at CiderCon. That means you get to like talk to Tom Oliver. He's right there. And so many other amazing cider makers throughout the land. I don't know everyone who's going, which brings me to the other piece. If you're going to CiderCon and you want to set up a time with me to record, I do have some slots. They are filling up. And I want to also put a little call out. If anybody would like to go out to dinner and have a chat and we could find a place that we could bring cider, your cider, and talk about it, I would really enjoy doing that recording. So if anyone would like to set that up, I'll be down in Baltimore the whole time. Do send me a line, drop a line, and let's have a fun time sharing your story out there to Ciderville. Again, CiderCon 2018 in Baltimore. Be there. Be there. I'll be there. And looking forward to seeing you there too. On that same note about CiderCon, I want to share with you that there is a vendor area where people who are selling practical needs for cider makers in the industry are there showcasing what they have to offer. And one of the folks that will be there is a man by the name of Adam Levy. And this year, he is inviting cider makers to send their cider into a competition called the New York International Beer Competition. Now, okay, hold on to your horses. You're thinking, beer competition? What's that? That doesn't say anything about cider. But I think you want to hold back a little bit before doing total judgment, because this is what's happening everywhere where there's been really solid competitions for a while. And now they're opening up their eyes and saying, oh, we need to include cider. So don't be surprised if names change. In fact, next week, I'll be having a little chat with Adam and we'll be getting that out to you on upcoming podcasts so you could hear more about it. But leading up to this competition, I'm going to be encouraging you cider makers to send your cider to this event, a judging, I guess you would call it, because it's very different than other typical judgings. This is held with the focus on consumer needs. I can't judge there. Adam's not judging there. And his main title is the alcohol professor. No, they're not taking cider judges per se. They're taking folks who are in the trade distribution area. And they're looking at the price point and judging the cider accordingly. Now, I know that might sound like, to some of you, like nails on a chalkboard, thinking that doesn't sound fair. But there's a lot to be gained here to get that feedback, because that is one thing that cider needs as it's going forward, is an understanding of the consumer market. I mean, I could live in my little bubble of the podcast and think I am like a supreme being for what I'm doing. But if I don't get some, you know, constructive criticism, if you will, or some feedback about what I'm doing, then I don't really know what the heck if I'm doing it right. And certainly there's merits for having a cider judge. And I was just at a judging last weekend that was for the Saturday's, what they call the amateur competition. Really amazing. Top quality judges were all attending. And, you know, we went on the merit of the taste. We didn't know what the cider was. And we are looking at, you know, the nuances. You know, was it kicking off that kind of sulfur components? What was going on? Really small nuances. Here, they're looking at the taste in terms of the price point. It's going to be very interesting, and I think it'll give a lot of data back to everyone. If you want to find out more, there's going to be a link in the show notes in this episode 106, or you could Google New York International Beer Competition, and it's a really easy download form there. So check it out, and you'll be hearing me giving you reminders. The actual competition comes up on February 11th in New York City. Oh, Ciderville, hold on to your hat and fill that glass, because on this episode, we're going to get a snapshot of what the Totally Cider Tour is offering for you coming up in April of 2018. Well, I'm going to open this bottle because this type of chat really needs a glass of cider with it. Let that settle down. Because sometimes ciders, especially if they've traveled a little bit of distance, need a little bit of settling down, even if they've been still and cooled. Once you pour them, they could go different ways. And that's one of the reasons why I have decided to get into the cider tour scene and offer the first trip to Ciderville headed to the UK. I could have gone anywhere in the world, you know it, but I wanted to pick a location that inspired me because way back when, I recall, and he doesn't know I'm talking about this, but a guy by the name of Dan Young, you might know him, he and his wife Nikki are the owners of Tandem Cider, and that is out in Michigan. And I know Dan from a ways back, and he even talked about it on his podcast with me. And I'll get that episode in a moment for you, what number it is, or you could just Google Dan Young Cider Chat. But way back when, he took a trip on a bike around the West County of the UK. And this is when he was still a brewer. I remember him coming back and telling me, you know, kind of scratching his head in that kind of Dan way and telling you about this like amazing scene there on how they were making cider and how some of it was really funky or, you know, what might be called scrumpy, kind of cloudy and a very farmhouse kind of cider. But that story and what he shared with me really stayed in my head. And in some ways, Dan, I think he really inspired me to kind of keep on going where I am and telling the stories of Ciderville. And of course, so many years later, I have been privileged to be able to go out and travel about and get to meet folks like he did out there in Ciderville. And it has basically blown my mind. I mean, I could talk about it to you. I could get the audio. I could even take like a video of it. But until you're there where you're seeing a particular lighting of a certain kind of landscape, you're able to actually smell the smells, have a conversation with the locals, and see the countryside, and then actually drink the cider, as I'm going to do right now. You just can't get an actual sense of it. And over the course of doing Cider Chat, now we're on episode 106. That's a lot of episodes, Ciderville. And in that time of recording each episode and tooling about, one thing I have learned is that there is no better education than getting out of your door, getting out of your favorite spot of Ciderville, which hopefully is your own home port, and traveling about and meeting other like-minded people and increasing your palate, your taste. And that comes partly from the cider, but it's also the soil, seeing the apples and the pears. And in this case, the Totally Cider Tour is going to be in West County during apple blossom time. Whoa. That alone, even without a cider, is going to create like a buzz to one's mind, because to see apples and pear trees and the landscape of that in bloom is just amazing. I mean, folks come from all over the world to go to Washington, D.C. to see the cherry blossoms. And folks like you and I, we go out to the apple orchards and just enjoy that scene. So that is what we're doing on this week's podcast, where I want to share with you what I have been putting together for the past year to offer to Ciderville, to come along with me and experience West County, that's Hereford and Somerset, and meet the makers, taste the cider, and dig the scene.
You gotta grab that luchy. You gotta bust that thing. Get your kicks on the street. Gotta kick back, step back. Oh, you got to skeet. It's a rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-bala. Rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-holla. I don't wanna be pushed like a dude that push it. When it comes to the cheddar, keep it under the cushion. I don't wanna be ganked like a dude that gank it. When it comes to the cake, be me a thank it. I don't wanna be pushed like a dude that push it. When it comes to the cheddar, keep it under the cushion. I don't wanna be ganked like a dude that gank it. When it comes to the cake, be me a thank it.
Now, I wanna be totally transparent here in that I have really never seen a tour that I wanted to go on, because I'm kind of used to going my own way and taking my own time. And I felt like the tours that I saw were go, 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 and a lot of traveling. And one thing I've learned in my solo travels is that I don't want to have to travel a lot in between stops, especially when it has to do with cider. But the downside of doing the solo travel, or, you know, traveling with your spouse or your mate, whoever, is that you have to drive. And so I took those things into consideration. I wanted to have something where, of course, you don't have to drive, and yet you get to be a bit of a solo traveler, so having some downtime, and to set it up in a way that there's minimal travel time in between. So I really stuck to the gun on that one in terms of diminishing the amount of travel time from cidery to cidery and from, you know, lodging, going out. I didn't really want to see anything more than an hour, and I believe I've capped that. Of course, you know, could go over a little bit, but we're not talking about a three-hour tour. Gilligan liked three-hour tours, but you know how that ended up. So I really honed it down to get enough time at the site so we didn't feel rushed. We'd be able to immerse ourselves into that particular cidery. Because I've always found I go to a location and there's more time than I have that I need to spend there. But, you know, there's a lack of time. And I'm just talking about time here. You know, it's all about time, basically, and how you spend it. So I wanted to set up the experience that it was well-paced and could meet not only the absolute cider geek like I am, and perhaps you are too, but also be something that I wouldn't mind taking my spouse to, or my mate, or a good buddy. Somebody that wouldn't be necessarily absolutely as crazed about cider as I am all the time. Because I happen to, you know, when I'm with my family, I kind of shuttle off and I do my cider for the day because I'm in it. And I wanted to make it that it would be both likable for someone like myself, who's a geek, and the person that might be going with me who necessarily isn't. So those factors came into play. And then on top of that, to also hook it up with makers and locations that I felt really good about that provided a full gamut experience that wasn't necessarily really small producers. It provided large producers, and to immerse yourself in it. And that's why the title Totally Cider came about, because I wanted to have this be a totally cider experience where you were able to be in the company of like-minded people, have that experience with the makers out in the orchards and drinking, seeing what they're using for equipment, get that kind of tour piece once you're out and about, but also have a totally cider experience on your own. So that's the setup here. This is the first trip going out. I'm really hoping to fill it up with folks. We're looking at capping it with 20 people. And then there's myself and a support person, Jody, who you would connect to actually register for this. And then we go and cruise out into the countryside of West County. So without further ado, let's get in on it as we land first in Bristol, which is about 3 hours from London if you're flying into Heathrow, or as when I spoke to Bill Bradshaw a while back at CiderCon in Portland, Oregon, he said, you know, if you're flying and you're going to West County, just fly into Bristol. And right now is a good time to make the reservations on the plane. So let's head to Bristol and let me share with you what we're going to be doing on the first night of the tour. When we land in Bristol, we'll be meeting up at the Brooks Guest House. It is smack in the middle, walking distance to all the different shops, all the different cider focus, like the Bristol Cider Shop. And also, we're going to be having dinner that night. And the cool thing about this hotel is that it has three Airstreamers, and they have been tricked out as guest rooms. So that's going to be really cool. And we're going to be figuring out who is going to be sleeping up there, because we did reserve them. And from that rooftop, you get a view of the city, which, you know, that time in April, it's just going to be absolutely lovely. So that's our first night. And I got the recommendation for that spot from Susanna Forbes, who, with her husband, have just started a cidery called Little Pomona. And actually, Little Pomona just became a patron of Cider Chat, so big tip of the hat to them both. But besides that, she's also a fantastic libations writer. She just won an award for the best beer writer just like a week ago, and that was for the British Guild of Beer Writers. Holy cow, right? So she does that with beer. She writes all about libations, cider. She's hooked up. She's up in Herefordshire. You know, she knows Tom Oliver. She's in the scene. So when I reached out for her, she said, Rhea, check this out, and we did. After we do that and we settle in, then we're going to be going over to the stable. Now, the stable is a chain, if you will, but it's a chain and then some. And the reason why we chose going to the stable is because of the dinner offering they have. They have three different kind of cider tasting experiences. There's one which is strictly cider, and that's just, you know, tasting cider. And then there's cider and supper. That looked good. You know, I kind of thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, this is a totally cider tour. So I wanted to go one step above and start this tour off on the right foot. And so that evening, we're going to begin with the ultimate cider experience. Check it out. This is what it says on their website. Cider and supper taken to the next level. Hell yeah. Enjoy elegant Kiev cider and apple aperitifs. Taste high-end single varieties, Hedgegrove blends, and learn to distinguish notes, aroma, taste, and color, all under the expert guidance of our cider master. Because each of the stable locations, they have cider masters now. And during this ultimate cider tasting experience, you'll also dine on our finest handmade sourdough pizza, feast on cheese and charcuterie, and enjoy cider brandies with our unctuous chocolate brownies for dessert. It's a big word for me. This experience is tailored for you with plenty of time to focus on the areas your group is most interested in. So that's what we're kicking off our first evening together, to have a humdinger of a time at the stable and having the ultimate cider experience. Then it's back, I suspect, to get a good night's rest, because the next morning we're heading out to Somerset. On the first full day of our cider tour, we head down into Somerset and go to Thatcher's. That first morning, we'll be taking a tour of the orchard, of the mill, and learning cider making techniques that they use there. I think that'll be very informative. Thatcher's has been making cider since 1904, so that's been a while. It is a family-owned cidery, and they have a range of products from the cuvée, a more reserved product, to a more mainstream cider, which I thought would be very interesting for those of us who are used to mainstream ciders and seeing how they are doing their branding, how they're setting that up, how they're managing high production, and also getting the range of the more kind of boutique cider that they're making too. And to top it off, we stay in the area of Thatcher's and go to their Railway Inn, and we'll be having lunch in a private room at the Railway Inn. That is the morning and lunch. And then we take a short ride down to the next cidery of the day, which is Sheppy's Cider. We're going to be spending the afternoon at Sheppy's and having, again, another tour, seeing their cider-making techniques, their facilities, and having a tasting. The neat thing to know about Sheppy's, like many UK makers, is that they use wild yeast, and they mature some of them in oak vats, which have been part of the family's production for over 100 years. So that's rather interesting. And they use a blending of dessert apples with cider varieties, which I think should probably raise a little awareness to, you know, really, that sounds familiar for many of us who are doing that same thing in our own spot of Ciderville. They have a large facility. They really are successful in this, have a whole setup again for tours. I think it's going to be an amazing time to be able to go to Sheppy's and to experience their ciders, to taste them, to see their location in that area. And once we're done at Sheppy's, we have just a stone's throw away. Essentially, we head that evening to the Castle Hotel. Now, remember I was saying this trip is a blend of cider and the culture and the experience, and to give you both an immersion of cider. I mean, we're at two cideries, getting two tours, having lunch there. We're doing the full complement. But we also want to make sure that you get the quintessential English experience that you would have in your most biggest dream ever, which is to stay in a castle. So we're going to the Castle Hotel in Taunton. So you could actually kind of walk out from there, because it's kind of city central in a way. And it's an old hotel. I mean, this is like a historic site. It was once a Norman fortress, and its origins stretch over 1,000 years. But for the past 60 years, it's been run by three generations of the Chapman family. And it's considered sitting at the gateway to England's West Country. The castle provides an ideal mix of town center convenience with easy access to some of the most breathtaking landscapes that the Southwest has to offer. I mean, that's a double deal. And that evening, we're going to be having dinner at the castle. So that's sweet. I mean, this is a lot covered in this Totally Cider tour. You have two tours on the first day. You have lunch included and dinner. So you don't even have to think about that. You just kind of enjoy yourself, luxuriate on drinking cider, really immerse yourself in the flavors of it, and then drop down that night at a castle. Sweet! The next day, we're up and out and heading to our next location, which is Perry's Cider. Perry's Cider is about a half hour or so from the Castle Hotel. And there we'll be having another cider tour and tasting. And let me tell you a little bit about their ciders. They have single variety ciders. They have the Somerset Debonair, the Morgan Sweet, and Somerset Red Streak. These are going to be a really amazing ciders. I'm definitely going to be picking up some at each of these cideries to go, and I'm super excited about this particular cidery for their single variety ciders that they offer. Also have farmhouse ciders and vintage ciders too. The farmhouse cider is like the barn owl. the gray heron, and the puffin. So they have a bird theme going on there. The farmhouse cider is made with natural fermentation using wild yeast. It's a small batch technique, and it's 100% juice. All over Perry cider, you see 100% juice, which brings us to that piece in the UK that's really promoted, which is real cider. And there's a very fierce belief on this that cider should only be made out of juice with nothing added. So we're going to be really hitting that range here as we're going to Perry's, where it's a much larger focus on that 100% juice. So how exciting to be able to taste their ciders, to hear their input on that, and to see the different varieties that they have. Again, they have the single variety ciders, they have the farmhouse ciders, and then the vintage ciders. And that is a particular vintage from the best apples of the autumn harvest. So, that's aged 12 months in a barrel, and they say to fully develop the cider's unique character and flavor. So I'm very curious about that, having not been to Perry's, and to experience a 12-month barrel-aged cider. Oh, I'm just kind of thirsty just thinking about that. My goodness. So we'll be hanging out there in the morning, delving into their experience and enjoying that before we head now going up north to a new location for lunch. Now, before I get into the lunch scene, I just want to remind you that we are traveling about in the English countryside during apple blossom season. So you know darn well, as you're going on the highways and byways of Somerset, that you're going to be seeing a cacophony of apple blossoms out in the distance and up close too. And there's no better education than getting up close to an apple tree and just smelling that smell, looking in closely to the flower, and getting a sense of these apple varieties, these cider varieties, I should say, that are so coveted by people around the world, those bittersweet, those bitter sharp cider varieties that the English have going on there. And to see that and witness the apple blossom moment of time not only really feeds my soul, but it gives me so much happiness to think about the future. It just gets you revved up and energized. And any trip that you go out to Ciderville, when you come home, you should be really energized. And that's the goal of this trip. So that brings me to lunch. When I really wanted to go to this next cidery, I contacted the maker. And that gent is Neil Worley, who I had on this podcast, episode number 26, where he spoke all about keeving before really anybody in the U.S. was talking about keeving, and gave a very detailed overview on how keeving is done so that you or I could try our hand at it and be inspired. So I'm really excited to go to Neil Worley's or Worley Cider, meet Neil himself, and hear about his cider making techniques. You know, they use 100% wood there to heat their water, to heat their home. I know that Neil is bringing apples up the hill from the orchard down below, and he has to bring it up on a tractor because they can't get like a big vehicle up there filled, you know, with anything else other than like a tractor. So it's going to be quite the experience hanging out with him. And when I told Neil I wanted to do this, I was asking him, you know, for recommendations, and he recommended that we hook up with the Three Horseshoes, which is, you know, not too far from Neil's. We're going to be having lunch there. It should be an intimate experience, getting us once again immersed into the culture. So this is not your like grand voyage tour where you're really separated from everything and feeling like, oh, if only I could kind of go out into like Ciderville. You're going to be in Ciderville. And after we have lunch, we go up to Neil's. This is a Friday afternoon, and spend the afternoon with him. And it's going to be really grand. So if you want to hear more about that, just listen to episode 26 with Neil Worley talking about keeving. A wonderful man, a fantastic cider maker, and he has a full range of ciders that we're going to be having. And we'll be definitely talking to him about keeving and seeing his operation up close. After our tour and tasting at Neil Worley's or Worley Cider, it is Friday afternoon. And that's a Friday afternoon after having an ultimate cider dinner at the stable, then going to Thatcher's and Sheppy's and having lunch in between at a cidery-focused restaurant, then having the castle experience where we have a private room dinner there too, then the next day going to Perry's and then to the Three Horseshoes for lunch again. Another cider experience. Are you getting, this is like totally cider. Definitely. I mean, we're just not holding back. And then of course, Neil Worley. So that's a lot. And so, I really wanted to make sure that everyone on this trip, the Totally Cider Tour, was going to get a little bit of downtime to be able to explore on your own and immerse yourself into the culture. So not too far away, we're heading up into the city of Bath. And that is a very, very interesting city. We're going to be smack in the middle at the Abbey Hotel, where on Saturday you have the entire day to cruise out on your own, walk about the city. There's lots of fantastic pubs in Bath that you could go to and enjoy lunch on your own. You basically are in command of your own tour, and we'll certainly give you any kind of recommendations. The interesting thing about Bath is this is where there is some nice cultural sightseeing visits that you could do. You could go and see the Roman baths. That's when, yep, the Romans themselves created these baths. And so there's like that historical sightseeing piece. And you could just walk to that. You could actually just walk from the hotel that we'll be staying in. Or you could go to the pump room and have afternoon tea with Roman bath views. Or the Yak restaurant and have some Neapolitan food in an 18th century townhouse, no less. I mean, there is a lot to do in Bath. So we arrived there on Friday night. You could sleep in on Saturday morning or get out early and walk about, go into the gardens that are there. It's a walkable city. This is your time. And then Saturday night, you're also on your own. And of course, again, anyone on the tour, no one's going to feel left out. If you need a little bit of guidance, if you want to go for a walk, that can be set up. No one's going to be left out. But if you want to just kind of escape for a bit, you could do that too. Because on Sunday, we're going to be saying goodbye to Somerset and heading east towards Hereford. So if you could just imagine in your mind that this was like Act One was going to the Somerset region, Thatcher's, Sheppy's, Perry Cider, Worley Cider, having all the cider-focused meals and lunches. And then you have that bit of intermission in Bath where you're still immersed into the cider, the Perry. You're able to go to pubs on your own. You don't have to leave that hotel the next day. You get to have one time where you don't have to pack and leave. In fact, the next place we go to in Hereford, we do the same thing. We're staying at the same guest house. It's kind of like a mansion that we have there for two nights. So I think that's a really nice blend. And when you're going on a trip, to not always be traveling. I've done that. I've done that game, and it gets really tiring. And the one thing we want to do is to satiate ourselves both mentally, physically, and with delicious cider and Perry for sure. And that's what we're going to get at our next location, because from Bath, we're heading to Hereford, and our first stop of the day is going to be Apple County Cider Company. And there will be also staying for lunch. They're going to be packing us a little bit of a picnic lunch that we could enjoy in their orchard, and that will include local cheeses and chutneys. And again, did I say they have cider and Perry? And just step back from the door for a minute and imagine cruising through there, and now, you know, you're starting to see the Perry pear trees, you're starting to see the apple trees, and you're getting to see the blossom, the way the blossoms look different on the various varieties of palms that were passing by, and getting up close and again to smell the Perry pears that are growing there. Oh, I mean, this is kind of like heaven on a Totally Cider tour. I mean, it's just absolutely heaven going at that time of year. And you know, I have to admit though, you really don't know. I mean, it's all climate dependent. But in any case, whether you're in the midst of apple blossom time at one area, you might see the buds in the other, or the later period. Again, really dependent upon climate, but we're going to be in there in April, and it's a lovely, lovely time. April, right over to the edge of May, May 2nd. So we are there at Eppel County Cider Company and some of their ciders. Let's talk a little bit about that. They, again, are doing like single variety ciders. I'm sure they're blending it. It's 100% juice. They have an interesting styles of ciders that they offer. They have the Demene Medium. They have the Vilbiri Medium Dry. What is a Vilbiri? It's a bittersweet apple, which is said to have a crisp, dry finish. That won an award at the Great Taste in 2015. They have the Yarlington Mill, which is a medium sweet cider. And then, interesting, for those of us who are used to like a fruit cider, they have a raspberry and a rhubarb. I just judged a raspberry, it was a strawberry rhubarb cider. Whew, was fantastic. You could taste each of the three fruits separately. That was at Franklin County Cider Days. Anyways, I digress. The cool thing is that they have that range, and I think that will be really informative. And again, getting to go and see their equipment, see their orchards. Any of you who are doubting if that's part of that, this is totally part of it. And we get to not cruise out. We're going to just have a picnic lunch right there. So we're decreasing the amount of travel, because that afternoon, which is a Sunday afternoon, we're then going to be going to our next cidery of the day. And I've been waiting to get to the cidery for a long time. Before I had Oliver's Cider and Perry, before I had Worley Cider, before I had many UK ciders, one of the first ciders I did have, which turned me on to what the Brits were doing all these years that I really had no idea about, was Ross on Wye Ciders. It's the Ross on Wye Cider and Perry Company is their full name. And I'll never forget that first sip that was a burst of flavor in my mouth and just melded the blending of the apples. Oh my goodness. It's just so exciting. I always thought, like, Ross on Wye, where is that? You know, what are they doing? And can I get there? Well, we're going to Ross on Wye Cider and Perry Company in Hereford, and we're going to be staying pretty much almost like next door to them at the Brooks Country House, which is a 22-bedroom Gregorian manor house. So we're very, very close. And that's going to be our afternoon on Sunday afternoon. That we're going to be doing a cider tour and tasting. And they like people who are really into it. They say, you know, we want cider people. So it could last from 1 to 2 hours. So wait till they meet everybody on the Totally Cider Tour, who are going to be just like gaga. Their tour involves, you know, seeing the orchards, again, seeing their equipment. They always have three different dry draft ciders and one dry draft perry available for you to try. And they gift you with a bottle of cider or perry to your group. So that'll be fun too. And it's very interesting to me, this particular cidery, because it's not a huge acreage. You know, they have like 9 acres. They have really blended their business model to provide that gift store. And they now have a place that you could eat there too. So they're upping, you know, their value-added product at their cidery, which many of these sites that we're going to are now doing. It's going to be just fantastic to be able to taste Ross on Wye cider in Hereford in April, like one of the last days of April. I mean, that weekend in general, we have to remember, is also like May daytime. So whether there's probably like here where I am in Ciderville, depending on the weekend, there might be festivities happening all over the place. So just seeing that culture and that excitement is going to be so much fun. That's Sunday evening. We go to the Brooks Country House. We basically just about have that entire house to ourselves, I imagine. And we will then be having the option to have dinner on your own that night. You could have it at the Brooks Country House because they have, you know, food right there. Or you could find a local restaurant or pub in the nearby town of Ross-on-Wye. So many options. Again, that gives you a little bit of the flavor. You know, we've driven that day to two cideries. We've been satiated. And you have a little bit of downtime. So there's that tour and a little bit of adventure on your own, which I think really sets it in a very special way. Not to mention that, I mean, I haven't even mentioned this, but the excitement that I'm sensing from the UK makers that we're doing this trip is really building. They want to show off and showcase their cider. So you could be darn tootin' that the buzz is going to be in the air that a group from Totally Cider Tours, that this new adventure is starting that is promoting cider around the world. It's in tandem with Cider Chat and all the work that I've been doing to try to promote cider. It's excitement at like a fever pitch, which kind of leads me to this night of Sunday, because we might change it up a little bit if there's enough folks interested once we get everybody reserved for the trip, because Susanna Forbes, you know, again, contacted me and said, you know, you should maybe, you know, think about having a dinner and we could invite some of the local cider makers to come out and hang out with you. So stay tuned for that. Anybody who goes on this Totally Cider tour, that there might be a little bit of a yield in the roadside where all of a sudden we find ourselves like hanging out with some of the local Hereford cider makers and sharing stories and sharing cider. So there's some real possibilities here before we kind of fully encapsulate it. And that's what I'm liking about this trip. We do have some options. And again, that fever pitch that's happening, the excitement is contagious because, you know, we can't go everywhere. We're trying to like do the best we can, but we might have these other options to meet other cider makers. And I do believe that's going to happen. So a lot of fun ahead on that before we do our next stay. Either way, that's pretty, pretty cool, right? So that is Sunday evening, and we're at the Brooks Country House. You don't have to pack up the next day. The next day, we have kind of cleared the slate for our final cidery visit of the trip, which is with Tom Oliver. And I talked about this on last week's chat, because if you haven't listened to that episode number 105 with Tom Oliver on Making Perry, you definitely want to do that. This is the second time I've had Tom on the show. He's a wonderful person. Of course, he's like a renowned cider maker, Perry maker too, of course. And when I contacted him, he said, "Rhea, I need like 4 hours and we'll do a walk to the orchard and we'll have Perry and cheese, you know, a tasting and really get immersed into the Tom Oliver world," which some people would fall backwards just to be able to have this option to go and see Tom Oliver himself. So that's going to be happening on Monday. And I cleared the slate for that. There's going to be some options possibly to go to the Cider Museum in Hereford, because that's a cool thing to see. But we didn't want to overwhelm folks, because that evening is going to be our farewell dinner. We saved it, even though it's not our last night. I wanted to have the farewell dinner kind of like a night early, which I thought was kind of clever. So you won't get, you know, you have the next day to kind of recover from that, because I imagine we'll be all having a bunch of cider that we kind of been bringing different places and sharing that and having a dinner at the Brooks Manor House that we're staying at. And I'm also going to be showing you how I do my travel hacks for packing cider to bring home. So I'll be doing a little presentation that afternoon before we have dinner and helping you get your cider ready and packed and ready to bring back home. Obviously, you know, that's kind of dependent on the weight and if you want to be paying for extra luggage. But that's one of the things that I'd really like to set people up, showing you how I've been bringing cider back all these different trips that I've been going out to. So that is Monday, Tom Oliver doing the cider hacks to be able to pack your gear. You have a little bit of free time if you want. You could kind of go out and about. We could set that up as we'll get an idea. And then you think it's all over, but it isn't over yet, because we still have one more full day, probably plenty of cider in our bags that we can't pack because they're maybe over our weight piece. So we'll be bringing that with us on lunch on our next day as we go out and about and do a little bit of end of the trip sightseeing, leaving our country manor with a packed lunch that we'll then be taking with us to see two magnificent sights that you don't really want to head home without seeing. Because if you're in the area, you know, you had a lot of cider, and I mean, we are having a lot of cider because this is totally cider. We want to do a little final piece of sightseeing to really enmesh a bit of the history and culture. So we're going to be going to the Tintern Abbey, which is like an open air, not ruins, because it's so beautiful. You have to look at the photos at the site where you register for this trip to just see a photo of the Tintern Abbey. Imagine like a huge cathedral with no ceiling any longer, all open air with green grass, and where the windows were, it's just like visible out. It's just like photos that you'll be able to take home that will last you a lifetime. And the majesty of it all. So we'll get a history lesson on the Tintern Abbey, and we're also going to be going to a very key place because it's another castle, but we're not going to be staying at this castle. This is this Chepstow Castle. You don't want to leave the area without seeing it. Boasts the oldest castle doors in Europe. Until 1962, the doors were hung in the main gateway, but they're now kind of like in safekeeping and an exhibition. Another breathtaking vista to see that will just kind of fill you up as much as you've been filled up with all the cider. So that's what we're going to be doing on our way back on Tuesday. So you get back in time to go into Bristol. We're going to head back to where we started on our trip, going to the Brooks Guest House with those three Airstreamers on top of the roof again, and be able to maybe take a little bit of time to check out the Bristol Cider Shop if you haven't, where they have a wide array of ciders and different gifts to bring home. And by that time, you'll know how to pack it up because we had the little seminar the day before, and you'll have that evening on your own to just kind of drop a little bit in Bristol. And then if you're heading out, to the Bristol Airport, airport transfers will be provided. That's it, Ciderville. This is like a totally cider immersion, and I'm counting on you to get the word out. And for a very limited time right now, as of today, when this podcast is going out on December 6th, for 1 week, it will end on December 13th. We're taking off $100 if you reserve now your space on this trip. So if there's two of you, that's $200 off your trip, which means more money for cider while you're there and for gifts. And I think it's a great deal. This is very inclusive. All the sightseeing, all the tours, really inclusive of meals too. Very little that you have to kind of worry about on your own as adding extra. Just enough to keep it interesting, to give you some autonomy too while you, you know, explore on your own. A fantastic trip. Again, it's going to be April 25th through May 2nd of 2018. And the reservation is open now. You could find out about it by going to totallycider.com. That'll bring you to the page at ciderchat.com. And there's a little link there to register. Do look for that. That link says register here. You're going to be seeing it going on social media all this week because we're really trying to get folks signed up now because it's a good deal. We're not going to be offering this deal. As of January 1st, the actual trip is going to become more expensive. So this is the time to sign up now for a Totally Cider Tour to Somerset and Hereford. I feel so excited by it because it is the beginning of getting cider tours out into the world at another level. And if you are a cider maker and you need to trade, please share this. If you know someone who is looking for the perfect getaway coming up, getting out of like the main city of London and going into the countryside and hanging out with some makers, this is the trip. Again, 1 week only, $100 off between December 6th. It ends December 13th. I hope to see you on this trip. If you have any questions, just drop me a line. Rhea@ciderchat.com, and myself or Jody will answer any questions that you have. Time is running out to get the trip filled up, so seize the moment and reserve your space today on the Totally Cider Tour to the UK. This is Rhea Wincolor signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville. Totally Cider Tour UK.
Going up, going up.
Yeehaw!